Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to discuss it with you. Again, toll-free, 800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In this topic that we've been talking about, spiritual warfare, we have some great news to share today. I think this is one of the most exciting passages in all the Word of God. It really gives us some hope. It gives us a sense of victory. And it's a passage we need to embrace and really understand. And Richard, why don't you share that with us today?
Yeah, it's in Revelation 12, starting in verse 10. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony."
That's just good stuff.
That's
right there.
That's just good stuff.
I mean, we have overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have an enemy, and what this enemy does is constantly accuse us. He is hurling accusation after accusation after accusation at us, and then, you know, as this passage would indicate, he's up in heaven accusing us before God. But there's something that happens. He's hurled down, and so we see that Jesus has already won the battle. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, we lose this spiritual warfare, so to speak, because we don't realize what Christ has already accomplished
Yes.
on our behalf. And so we entertain these accusations as if they're true, as if they really hold water. But in God's economy and because of what Christ has done, they hold no water at all. I love how Paul kind of summarized that in Romans chapter 8. He said this, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for us? I think Scripture is abundantly clear. He demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, he died." So God is for us. We see that in Christ. And that's what he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" We know God is for us just by the mere fact that he did not spare his own son. So he raises this question, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen?" If you're in Christ, you've been chosen by God, chosen to be predestined or conformed to the image of his son, chosen to be adopted into his family, chosen to receive an inheritance, chosen to live in this new covenant that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no charge that can be thrown against us. There is no accusation that holds water. Why? Because who is it that, he says this, it is God who justifies.
Yeah.
Through
it's
Jesus.
Not God who accuses.
It's God who justifies. Satan is the one who accuses. God is the one who justifies. And he does so through the blood of Jesus Christ.
And aren't we glad?
Absolutely. If you are a believer, you stand in the righteousness of Christ. And that righteousness becomes a breastplate to guard your heart. Why? Because those accusations can hurt deep if you let them hit the heart. When somebody accuses you of wrongdoing, man, it hurts deep within the heart. But there is no accusation that Satan can hurl against you because Christ has justified you. And if you've been justified by Christ, you have peace with God, and that becomes the shield, the guard over your very heart. Let it protect you. You stand in his righteousness.
That's Basic Gospel, and you found Basic Gospel on your radio dial. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible passage you can't quite understand, if you have some life issue you're facing and would like to discuss it on the air with us, we would love to discuss it with you. Give us a call, friends. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock. We can fully discuss your particular situation or your question. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a very interesting question from Jim, who writes to us. He listens on the Internet in San Juan Capistrano. He says, I heard that a Christian should surrender to God every day, but I can't find that in the New Covenant. What do you say?
Well, surrender is actually a pretty good word. Richard, I think of your favorite verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. It says there that we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we do so in light of the grace and mercy that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. So we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, and this enables us not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So you can get a sense of surrender in that, just giving yourself over to God, the one who loves you, the one who cares for you, the one who has your best interest at heart. I think that's a positive thing.
Yeah, but this question gets at what we were just talking about in terms of spiritual warfare. I know in myself that I have to pay attention to keeping my eyes focused on Jesus. And quite often I have to remind myself that, look, Richard, you've surrendered yourself to God. Be surrendered. It's sort of like you've been reconciled, so be reconciled. But Satan uses that realization to hurl an accusation, and we start saying things like, oh, man, I haven't surrendered to Jesus today. I'll bet that's why everything went wrong at work. And, yeah. And we start looking at that kind of thing instead of the truth, which is, I belong to Jesus. Just remember that I belong to Jesus, and therefore be surrendered as we go on. And it's one of those fine points, but Satan is a stickler for the fine points. That's where he trips us up. That's where he gets through the chinks in the armor, if there are any, with these accusations, because we always, oh, man, now I've done it. Well, no, we haven't done it. We are surrendered. We belong to Jesus, and we just need to remind ourselves of that on an ongoing basis. Yeah.
We've been bought with a price.
Yes.
He has claimed us as his very own, mm-hmm. and has declared us to be his children. There's nothing that we can do to change that or alter that. Our status is secure.
Yes.
Just rest in that and learn to live as a child of God.
Yeah.
And that's by faith. We use all of these words, but it's a simple life. It's a life of faith, just simply trusting him.
Yeah.
To do his thing in and through us.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it gets. But boy, is that powerful and profound.
Yeah. We Absolutely. Have to be reminded all the time.
Yes indeed.
1-800-677-9377. Open lines for you right now.
Well, let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
How are you doing? I want to give a shout out to Wayne. His phone's not working real good and haven't been able to talk with him on a daily basis, so I hope he's listening. It just came up when you brought up Richard's favorite verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And, you know, for a long time I used to look at that, you know, when I'd read Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, I'd get into the legal thing and say, oh, boy, here's something I have to do. I've got to make myself a living sacrifice because of what I do. And as a practical application, I've learned to pair Romans 12, 1 and 2, of course, with the new creation in 2 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 2:20. But I go all the way over to Hebrews 4, which you all have talked about in the last couple of weeks, 4, 9, and 10. And that's become very, very real to me in the fact it's very simple instruction, and it tells us that there yet remains that Sabbath rest that was pictured in the Old Testament, but we have in reality in Jesus Christ. And the fact is that you said the other day, which I really picked up on, that rest really means trust. And in the very next verse, in verse 10, it tells us exactly. I mean, to me, there's no clearer scripture pairing than Hebrews 4, 9, and 10, and that is, you have entered his rest when you have ceased from your own efforts, your own works, just like God did his when he rested after he had created. And it is really good that you said, Richard said, you remind yourself. And I have put it into practical application. I'm not bragging. God knows that. But I remind myself, and it's a good thing to remind yourself about, and that is, you know, you question yourself, am I resting and trusting in Christ? Am I ceasing from my own efforts to do anything other than rest in him and let him live his life in and through me, because that's what he wants to do. That's what he gave his life for, so he could give his life to us and could live his life in and through us. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us all these good works are his, and he created them before the foundations of the world so that we would walk in them as he walks and lives in us. And I think it's a fantastic, you know, that's how you present yourself as a living sacrifice.
Yeah, well, Brad,
even though
well,
you're resting.
Well stated, my friend, and I love how you connect some dots. And I think that's when Bible reading really gets fun, when we learn to connect dots and see that, oh, yeah, here Paul is saying this. This is kind of what the writer of Hebrews was speaking about. And things start really coming together, and you really see the big picture that Scripture is presenting. And it really is that life of faith. If you're a believer, faith is your way of life, faith in Jesus Christ, and you're going to see that faith being expressed in love. You're going to see that faith anchored in hope, and that's what's important as far as God is concerned. But Brad, always love hearing from you. Thanks, my friend.
You guys sell a little book on a Bible on your website, the books of the Bible, and you helped me through that. It's in chronological order pretty much to what the history of the writings were. And using that Bible, I found that Paul wrote Corinthians and Galatians before he ever wrote Romans. So I connected dots with the new creation, Galatians 2:20, and then Romans 7, and showed people that Paul understood fully that new creation and living his life in Christ when he was writing Romans 7, and when he came to the point where he said, I recognize it's myself that isn't sinning, but it's sin that dwells in me. And you're right, connecting the dots is wonderful in Bible study. I love you guys. Thanks for listening to me today.
You're welcome, Brad. Thanks
Brad.
For your call.
Yeah. Open lines again, 1-800-677-9377. Mr. Christopher, we thank our listeners so much, those who have stood with us through the months and years, but we need to keep up the good work at this time.
Yes, indeed. And we have here at the beginning of the year, you know, we've kind of looked and said, you know, what would we like to see happen, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the ministry is concerned? And Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We rely on support from people who have been touched by this ministry, who want to help touch others. And, you know, a gift of $20, a gift of $50, a gift of $100 each month means a lot to this particular outreach, and it means a lot to those who tune in each and every day looking for answers, that they can go to a place and really talk about their particular issues, their particular questions in real time and get solid biblical answers.
Yeah.
So what we would like to see happen this year is an increase in the number of people who stand with us as Basic Gospel partners. Now, we've put a dollar amount on what that partnership is, $35 a month or more. Why we pick $35 is because in our calculations, based on what we have been told our audience is, and based on what our airtime is, $35 reaches 100 people. That's a pretty powerful bang for the buck.
Yeah.
$35 a month, you do that every month. At the end of the year, you've helped Basic Gospel reach 1,200 people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. So we would like to see that number go to 900 basic gospel partners. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's an increase of almost 400 partners for us. Is that within the realm of possibility?
Oh, yeah.
You bet it is.
Yes.
And so we're asking you to join with us, to become a basic gospel partner. All the information on how to do that is on our website. You can go and click the support link, and all the information about being a basic gospel partner is right there.
Yeah.
So will you do that today, or will you pick up the phone right now and call 1-800-727-2828? That's 1-800-727-2828. And talk with Billy and just tell her, I want to be a basic gospel partner, and here's the level of giving that I want to do each and every month.
Yes.
We would greatly appreciate that. And to say thanks, we have a special gift for you, a book by Andrew Farley, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. It's really a wonderful resource in light of our theme for the month, spiritual warfare. It really gets into the nitty-gritty of what that looks like and how we can truly overcome through faith in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And, of course, that's available for a gift of any amount through the rest of this month. We hope you'll take advantage of that offer today if you possibly can. Right now, open lines and time remaining on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question and some commentary, I guess, from Val, who lives in Union City, New Jersey, listens on our great New York affiliate, WMCA. Scripture says pastors are to be with one wife. What should a church member do when their pastor gets a divorce? This one divorces his wife of more than 20 years. They have teenage children, and there's some talk of adultery as the cause. Pastors like this then remain on as head pastors. They remove all remembrances of their wives, deleting their pictures out of the church bulletins and church websites, and then go on with business as usual. I'd like to say that I left that church before the divorce, and primarily because this particular pastor was not teaching the word, and I did not hear the voice of Jesus, nor did I feel his presence in this church. But I am concerned about others I know who are still continuing to go there. That's the question, and as I said, kind of a commentary from Val and Union, New Jersey.
Well, really a good question. And that type of situation is more common than we think. Mm-hmm. And I think in a situation like that, that's where the leadership of the church should go to that pastor and really find out what's happening and try to discuss the issue, try to get to the bottom of what's going on, and to offer some help, restorative help. I think if a situation like that is happening, I think the pastor needs to step aside because that's going to be of more benefit to the church and to the body at large than him trying to stick around and continue doing something he knows he really shouldn't be doing at that particular point in time.
Yeah, and possibly dividing the congregation and being a bad influence.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. So, I think in a situation like that, the leadership needs to step up, and that's sometimes the problem in churches. Sometimes these churches, it's just the pastor's way or the highway, and if that's the case, I think that's a red flag right there, and is a signal to probably leave. It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be the pastor's way or the highway. No one person has all the gifts of the Spirit. No one person has the corner on truth. We can all be blind to our own inadequacies and our own failures and those sort of things. We can rationalize, and we are good at that.
Yeah.
We are good at defending ourselves. We're good at accusing ourselves, and we're also pretty good at defending ourselves when we need to be. So in a situation like that, there's just all sorts of red flags just all over that question.
Right.
It sounds like a church that doesn't have very much leadership in place to make some decisions to deal with situations like that, and I would be very skeptical of it.
Yeah. Well, hope that's been a help to you, Val. Hope you're listening, and that you'll let us know if we can be of further help. And for those of you who can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us a question by email
or some particular issue you're facing, why, we'd love to discuss that for you and with you. You can find our email address at our website at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. A question from Kelly, who lives in Tampa, Florida, and Kelly has posed questions to us in the past, and they're always very good questions, I might add. And she says, how do we defend the charges, or actually the changes, between the Old and New Covenants in light of Psalm 89:34, which says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips? When comparing, it appears that the two covenants have altering differences. Does the New Covenant conflict with this passage? Your thoughts on this are most appreciated.
Well, he fulfilled that Old Covenant.
Yeah, he didn't break it.
He did not break it. He was faithful to it all the way to the end. And in sending Jesus, and Jesus living under that old covenant, submitted himself to judgment by that old covenant. When the old covenant examined Jesus' life, basically those Ten Commandments, it found Jesus to be perfect at every single point. And so at that point, Jesus then became the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. He took upon himself as that perfect, unblemished sacrifice, the sins of the world, and he paid the price. He paid the penalty. So in that act, that old covenant was fulfilled once and for all. So God was faithful to it from the beginning all the way to the end. But also that death of Jesus ushered in a new covenant. And this was a covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah and some of the other prophets of the Old Testament. It was made effective at the day that Jesus died. And it's this new covenant that we live in today. Yeah. The problem of the Old Covenant wasn't the fact that God wasn't faithful to it. The problem of the Old was that the people were not faithful to it. They didn't keep their end of the bargain. They failed immediately. And if we had been under that old covenant, like the people of Israel were under that old covenant, we would have failed as well. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why God sent Jesus. Jesus carried out the will of the Father in completing that old. After he completed it, he set it aside. He made it obsolete, and he ushered in something brand new that is built upon Jesus, his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy alone. We're just beneficiaries. Yeah. We're just recipients. Yeah. That's why the new covenant is far superior to the old.
Absolutely. A question I think you can answer very, very quickly from Carlos, who writes to us from El Paso. Is the darkness of Genesis 1 the same as the ninth plague in Matthew 8:12? I ask this because particular occurrences bring to mind very tangible, almost physical qualities. Am I mistaken?
Well, I don't think I've ever heard anybody try to connect Genesis 1. I'm assuming that he's talking about Genesis 1 and 2, darkness hovered, you know, darkness over the earth and that sort of thing. I've never heard those connected at all. So, no, I would not say that that's the plague that's mentioned in Matthew.
Okay. Carlos, hope that answers your question. As I said, it didn't take long. Well, that's just about it for today's broadcast, everybody. Thanks for joining us. You know, we are on the air live each day only because of your prayers and financial support. As a way of saying thank you, as Bob Christopher mentioned, for standing with us for the gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape. To make your gift and request your copy, call 800-727-2828, again, 800-727-2828, between 9 and 6 Central Time, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To review each day's broadcast, get on the list. I speak of the email list, of course. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if this broadcast has found a favorable place in your day, well, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. A reminder, too, that all the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available from our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Friday edition, live, of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.